Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 11. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In the prayer that Jesus gave us, the Lord's Prayer, we find these two lines. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Or perhaps a more accurate translation would be, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I don't have to tell you who the evil one is. And here in these two lines, Jesus introduces to us the reality of spiritual warfare. Here he's saying that if you and I truly wish to pray, then we will experience all kinds of spiritual resistance and attack. And that the source of that attack is the devil and all his demons, who will do everything to try and spoil your prayers and mine, to try and stop us from praying actually in the first place. And judging from my own prayer life, a lot of the time he seems to succeed all too often. So even before we sit down to pray or we stand up to pray, whichever way it is we pray, we find that there are things that are resisting us or trying to stop us from praying. That's not to give, of course, all the credit to the devil and the demons. Sometimes it's our own apathy, our own listlessness, our own lack of energy or lack of willpower. Don't want to give him too much credit. But part of the time, at least, it's the evil one. And so if prayer is about discovering and ultimately then fulfilling God's will, and if we are committed to finding that will and to carrying it through, then we will inevitably experience problems, difficulties, distractions, and of course struggle. Take this saying from the Desert Fathers. The brethren also asked Abba Agathon, amongst all good works, which is the virtue which requires the greatest effort? He answered, forgive me, but I think there is no labour greater than that of prayer to God. For every time a person wants to pray, his enemies, the demons, want to prevent him. For they know that it is only by turning him from prayer that they can hinder his journey. Whatever good work a person undertakes, if he perseveres in it, he will attain rest. But prayer is warfare to the last breath. And there's a sense, isn't there, really, that if prayer is not difficult, you really have to ask the question, is it really prayer? Are we really praying? If it's easy, if it's a breeze, if there's nothing to it, then are we really praying? Have we really got down to the nitty-gritty of what prayer is about? Or is it that our prayer is just requests? And there's nothing wrong with requests, nothing wrong with asking God for things. That's probably the simplest form of prayer. But true prayer has to go further than that. True prayer is about engaging with God. It's about, in a sense, wrestling with God. It's learning about ourselves and learning about God. And if you come to that place, which is true prayer, then it is warfare to the last breath. And this idea of warfare, I think, is exemplified in two passages from the Gospels that I just want to briefly look at. The first is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Where Jesus goes into the desert to listen to God and to prepare himself, or to let God prepare him for his public ministry. And it's the place where he goes to meet God, but at the same time, it's also the place where he meets someone else. And of course, it is the devil who tries to tempt him to try and abandon his ministry. Always remember that incident in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, goes into the synagogue, and there he encounters in the worshippers a man who is demon-possessed. And so he goes to this place of prayer, where to hear the scriptures, where people have spent their time worshipping God, and yet here, in the very place where he expects to meet God, he also meets the devil. And I think that's also a kind of a warning for us, really, is that sometimes in the place where we least expect it, in the church perhaps, or in the, as well as the place of prayer, that may be the place where we meet somebody quite different. And what is true of Jesus is also true of us. If Jesus walked the path that is set out for him, then when we walk that path too, when we follow Jesus, we can expect that we too will encounter the same kind of obstacles and difficulties. You don't have to go into the literal desert to experience this. In fact, anywhere we choose to meet God, in stillness, in silence, in prayer, is also, if you like, a desert. It's a meeting place, and it's there that we will find the battleground. Listen to what another desert father called Makarios says about this place where the battle is at its most intense, and it's most intense in the human heart. That is the place, the meeting place with God. He writes this: "The heart," he says, "is but a small vessel, and yet dragons and lions are there, and there likewise are poisonous creatures and all the treasures of wickedness. Rough, uneven paths are there, and gaping chasms." So obviously Makarios, in his time of prayer, in time with God, has looked into his heart and seen all those terrible things there that can coexist alongside those things that are good as well. And he carries on to talk of this as a meeting place with those bad things, those things about us perhaps that are things we can be embarrassed about and be ashamed of, but also it's a meeting place with God. For he continues, "There," he says, in the human heart, "there also is God. And there also are the angels. There life and the kingdom. There light and the apostles. There the heavenly cities and the treasures of grace. All things are there." So when you sit or stand or kneel for prayer, what you're doing, actually, you're stepping into this battleground, and the battlefield, if you like, is the human heart. And we know, don't we, that evil and good can coexist in our hearts and can wrestle with one another. And in prayer, when we go into prayer, then we are taking up that fight, and we are opening ourselves and praying that that which is good within us will grow and that which is not good will fade away. And prayer is the place where that battle is joined. And the second passage is when Jesus is approaching the end of his mission. It's the night of his arrest, and what he has come to do is only hours away. And it's here at the place of prayer, in his favourite spot, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the place of shady olive trees, and in the cool silence of the night, that again he is plunged into the heat of battle. Here he is put under intense temptation and pressure to quit and retreat. And so intense is the battle, the gospel writers tell us, that the agony is so great that he sweats great drops of blood. Actually, you find that very often, isn't it? On the cusp of victory, and the cusp of something, doing something good or even great, we find that there is when the battle becomes at its most intense, isn't it? The victory is within our grasp. We are about to meet God, perhaps just before we go to church. Just as we get up in the morning, we find that things start to go wrong. Whether the car won't start, or whether, I don't know, something's gone wrong in the house, or you've fallen out with somebody big time and think, well, how can I possibly go to church when I'm feeling like this? I've come to sort of take for granted now that Saturday nights I never ever get a good night's sleep. Never. I either wake up for several hours or I can't go to sleep, or I find that my inner alarm clock goes off about 2 hours before the actual alarm itself goes off. So I've given it up, really, as a bad job. But always, isn't it, at the cusp of victory, just before something good is about to happen, you find that very often that's when the battle is joined at its greatest. Jesus found that. It was on the eve of his arrest, or on the same evening of his arrest, his crucifixion, and a few days later, of course, his resurrection. And here is the battle at its most intense. We don't know how long that spiritual battle raged. I think it was all evening, really. But we do know that in the end, Jesus wins through and goes on to complete the work that his Father has sent him to do. And in each case, in the desert and in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus succeeds and overcomes because he learnt rather quickly to become utterly dependent on God for what he does. I think that's a lesson that we find very difficult to do. I can say for my 22 years of ministry, maybe it's only now that I'm beginning to understand the battle belongs to the Lord and that it's his work and his will and not mine. Paul writes, "My brethren and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Twice he says, "Put on the whole armor of God." In other words, in prayer, the focus is always outwards and upwards to God, looking to God. Prayer may start as a movement inwards, but I mean, in a sense that we tell him what we want and we ask him to do things that are on our hearts and minds. But ultimately, if we follow the movement through, if we are patient and faithful in prayer, we'll find that gradually we have to lift up our eyes to God, we have to look at him, and we have to ask him what he wants and not just tell him what we want. In the ancient way of prayer for the Israelites and for the early Christians, actually many Christians across the world today, the way to pray was to stand in prayer. And it was to pray with arms held out like this. It was to stand, to hold out your hands, and it is to look up to God. We don't have to look far to find justification for this. In Psalm 123, verse 2, "As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy." And Paul, writing his first letter to Timothy, writes, "I want people everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer." So we need to look to God. We need to battle distractions. We need to pray our prayers, in Paul's words, "watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication." And so I suppose the upshot of what I'm trying to say is, if you are to really pray, you will find that prayer is not easy. It's a battleground where the battle for our souls is won or indeed lost, and where with God's help, his kingdom will one day ultimately triumph and conquer. So be on the watch. Guard your hearts. Keep your eyes fixed on God. Amen.